is Dr. Gino Cassieri, your instructor in the course on the Book of Joshua. Well, we've traveled a long way, haven't we? We're going to be covering in just a moment our last lesson in the book on the Book of Joshua, lesson number 25, which is entitled Joshua's Last Words, part number 2. In lesson 25, we'll cover the last remaining chapter of Joshua 24. Now, we see here is Joshua in Joshua chapter 24 reestablishes the old covenant. Let's look at Joshua 24 and read down verses 1 through 13 together. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterwards I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came under the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho. The men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand, and I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not. And ye dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted, not do ye eat. Here we see that Joshua asks a question. He says, do you remember what it was like on the other side of Jordan? He reminds him how it was. He, you know, restores the history, amen, of Egypt and everything else, and how they were in bondage to Egypt. The same question needs to be asked of the Christian. Do you remember what it was like your life was before salvation? Amen. Well, I can certainly remember my life before salvation, and I was saved later on life at the age of 36 years old. And I remember that I lived the life of sin, amen. Yes, I was into the booze and the drugs, amen, and so forth and so on. I don't want to glorify Satan. But I praise God for the day that a man of God came and he declared unto me the good news that Christ died. He died for my sins. He was buried and rose again the third day to save me from my sins, from going to a sinner's hell. And I'll never forget that day in November in 1987, amen, that I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus to forgive me for my sins. And I received him by faith, trusting in his shed blood and nothing else to save me. But we need to ask ourselves, as Joshua asked the people, do you remember what your life was on the other side of the Jordan? And we need to ask ourselves as Christians, do you remember what your life was before salvation? Amen. didn't have the joy of the Lord. You didn't have the peace of the Lord. Amen. And he goes on and he tells them, and he says, your great-grandparents were serving other gods in Chaldea. And Abraham, he talks about Abraham claiming all the land of Canaan and receiving Isaac as part of God's promises. And then he talks about Isaac receiving Jacob as a great gift from God. And then also we see the captivity of the children of Israel. He talks about that, and Egypt reminds him of that. He says, remember how it really was back then when you were in bondage to Egypt, amen. And then realize that they couldn't hold you, amen, that they couldn't hold you. The Egyptians couldn't hold you because of Almighty God and the power of God. And then he goes on how God redeemed them and brought them. He reminds them through the Red Sea and drowned the Egyptians. Amen. They couldn't stop you. Because they couldn't stop the children of Israel, he reminds them, because of Almighty God and the power of God. And then he reminds them how God brought them into this land, to the land of Canaan. And then he saw how he reminded them how Balaam and Balak, they couldn't stop the children of Israel, amen. We know that Balak, who was the king, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, got Balaam, the son of Peor, to curse Israel, but in turn they were blessed, amen. And God delivered them out of the hand of the Moabites. Then he reminds them, you crossed over the Jordan, amen. The Jordan River couldn't stop you. So we see the Egyptians, amen, couldn't stop them. Balaam and Balak couldn't stop them. The Jordan River couldn't stop them, amen. And then he reminds them, you inherited a land that was not yours, amen. And that's true. He gave them a land that didn't belong to them, amen. He planted vineyards and olives, and they did eat of it, amen. Now, what's the principle behind all of this that we want to remember? Well, the River Jordan represents the decision to live the separated and victorious Christian life. Remember what it was like before that decision was made, and compare it to how God has taken you and done mighty things through you, amen. Again, I go back to 1987, November 1987. Now, if you were to tell me that first of all, I was going to be saved, and then soon after God would call me to preach and give me my first pastorate, amen, I would have told you were crazy, amen. But God, really, I can see my life before and what he's done now and the mighty things that he's done in my life and that he continues to do, amen. And that's what Joshua was trying to get the people of the children of Israel to remember, just how far God had brought them, amen, from all the way over there from Abraham, amen, promised them the how Abraham and Abraham's father, they were serving other gods besides the one and only true God, amen. And then he tells them, recounts the history up until this point, amen. And just, again, how far God had brought them. And we need to remember how far God has brought each and every one of us who have trusted in the shed blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And then we want to see, as we read verses 14 and 15, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 24, now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Very famous verse of scripture, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua said, amen. We must remember, with every responsibility, there is accountability, amen. God requires that of you and I, amen. And of course, he required that of the children of Israel, amen. For example, we need to fear the Lord. They needed to fear the Lord. And of course, this is a very New Testament truth, amen, to fear the Lord. It's very important. Over there in Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, in chapter number 10, we want to remember in verse 48 what it says here. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Fear not them which kill the body." And of course, that would be man. Amen. Man can kill our body. But he says, "But are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." And of course, that's Almighty God. And we need to fear him. Amen. That's right. We need to fear him. So we see that Joshua tells him, "Now therefore fear the Lord." Amen. And the same holds true for the Christian today. We need to fear the Lord. Number two, he says to serve the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. In other words, not just with lip service. Amen. You know, there's a lot of, even back then, there were people saying how much they love God, and they were doing all the outward things, religious things, and the rituals, and the formalistic type of things, and following the traditions of man. But they really were just giving lip service, because in their heart they didn't really love God. Amen. Isaiah reminds us in chapter 29, in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 29, with me. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, Isaiah says, "Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men." So what we see here is Isaiah was talking, of course, about the children of Israel, that they were hypocrites, amen. They were very formalistic. They had a formalism, but really they were evil in heart. Their mouth was, with their lips they praise God, but with their heart something was different, amen. So it was all false at outward appearance, amen. We've got to be very careful, amen, even as Christians today, amen, to walk the talk, to make sure our hearts are right with God, amen. And of course, I think of what the prophet Samuel told Saul when Saul had disobeyed what the Lord told him to do to the Amalekites. We remember there back in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15. We remember that the Lord told Saul, he was king of Israel at the time, to destroy all the Amalekites, human life, livestock, and everything that they possessed, amen, and he didn't do it, amen. He kept the king Agag alive, the king of the Amalekites, and they took of the best of the livestock, amen, for sacrifice. He tried to justify, you know, taken of the best of the livestock for religious reasons to sacrifice unto the Lord. But Samuel reminds Saul what's important to God. He says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Amen. So God wants us more. What's more important is not the outward formalistic religious acts, but obedience to God. Amen. Total obedience to God. Amen. And then again, we read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew, chapter 15. In Matthew, chapter 15, we see in verse number 8, we read, "This people," Jesus says, and of course he was talking about the religious leaders of his day. He says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Again, things hadn't changed much in the nation of Israel, amen. From Isaiah's day to the day that when the time that Jesus walked this earth, they had the same attitude, amen. They draw nigh unto me with their mouth. Again, they were giving the Lord lip service. They were giving God lip service, but their heart was far, amen, far from loving the Lord God the way they should have, amen, and obeying Him, amen. So, again, then, as we're looking at going back to Joshua chapter 24 and verses 14 and 15, as Joshua is reminding the children of Israel, now, with every responsibility, there is accountability. And he's telling them that God requires, first of all, that you fear Him, that you serve Him in sincerity and truth and not with just lip service, and that you put away all other gods. That you put away all other gods. And he says, he tells them straight out, if you have a problem with other gods, then choose whom you will serve. You cannot serve two masters, right? You'll either love the one or hate the other. That's what Jesus said. You cannot love God and mammon. So he's telling them, you've got to make up your decision. Who are you going to serve? Amen. The gods of the heathen, or are you going to serve the only living and true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Amen. And he reminds them, you can't be double-minded. We have that today. We have a lot of double-minded Christians. Amen. They're unstable in all their way. They're like how the wind tosses the sea. Amen. And they've tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Right. Amen. And so you got to make up your mind, even as Christians today. Who are you going to serve? You can't serve the world and you can't serve God at the same time. You got to make up your mind who you're going to serve and serve the Lord. Amen. Serve Him with all your whole being. Amen. Now, we see here that Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And a godly man will make the scriptural decision for his house. See, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, he was the head of the household. He was the spiritual leader of his household. And that's what each Christian man should be, is the head of his household, to make the decisions. Yes, that we're going to walk and we're going to live for God, amen. That's what Joshua did. Because he was the head of the household, he knew the others in his household would fall right in behind him. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that your heart attitude, my dear friend? If you're listening, if you're the spiritual head of your household, can you say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Not only you, will the rest of your family, the rest of your household serve the Lord, amen? This command by Joshua is having to be made in spite of 20 years of bondage in Egypt and 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and 20 years of fighting for possession of this land. You know, you would have thought that Israel would have learned some things by now. But what did we learn? We learn from history that man doesn't learn from history, amen. Now we see in verses 16 through 18, the people respond. Let's turn back to Joshua chapter 24. Verses 16 through 18. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He is it that brought us up in our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will serve the Lord, for He is our God. So we see their response. They say, we will serve the Lord from now on because of all he has done for us. Now, that's a pretty good response if you think about it, is it not? Now, the question is this. Will they remain faithful to their commitment? Amen. And the same thing we need to ask ourselves as Christians. You know, we can review and see all that God has done for us, amen, and say, yes, we're going to serve the Lord, amen, because we've seen all that he's done for us, or done for me, and done for you. But the question to the Christian, too, still remains. Will you remain faithful to your commitment to serve the Lord? In Romans chapter 6, tells us, you can turn to Romans 6, we're not going to look at the entire chapter of Romans 6, but that shows, Romans 6 shows what the Christian commitment is, amen. I want to just have us read one verse in Romans 6, verse 11. And of course, you need to ask a question of whose servant are you? Because Paul talks about that, that whoever we yield ourselves to, be it sin or righteousness, that's whose servant we are. But in verse 11, in Romans 6, we read, likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And then we read in verse 16, Know you not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. So our commitment is, we need to be dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We now, as Christians with the indwelling Holy Spirit, have the power to overcome sin in our lives. And we need to reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our commitment. Now we want to see how in the old covenant is reestablished here on stone, going back to Joshua chapter 24. We'll read down from verses 19 through 28. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God, he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Amen. we see that the old covenant is reestablished here on stone. We see that the new covenant, amen, is promised in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, and which says this in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, he says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Amen. And of course, it's established the New Testament in the hearts. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 to 21, where it says, let's turn there. Hebrews. And of course, that new covenant is that we know that Israel as a nation will be born again. They will totally possess the land once again that God promised them unto Abraham, amen. And God will be their God, and he'll give them a new heart, amen. And they'll be ahead of the head of the nation and no longer the tail of the nations, amen. Hebrews chapter 30, verses 20 and 21. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." Amen. Working in you, working in their hearts. And we know that the new covenant is established in the New Testament blood of Jesus Christ. Over there in the Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, at the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, in verses 27 and 28. "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Amen. The new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. So we see that the old covenant is reestablished here on stone. Joshua writes it in the law that the people would serve the Lord, and that this stone would be a witness. Amen. And they are a witness to what they said against. Joshua says that they were a witness against themselves for what they said, that they would serve the Lord. Amen. And now we see the death of Joshua. The death of Joshua in chapter 24, in verses 29 to 31. "And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance of Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." And then we see in verse 33 about the high priest. "And Eleazar the son of Aaron died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim." And then we see that Joseph's bones is finally rest in the promised land in verse 32. "And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried them in Shechem, in the parcel of ground which Jacob brought the sons of Hamor, the sons of the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph." They weren't allowed to be buried, the bones of Joseph in Egypt, until the land was both conquered and filled. And we must remember, a lot of your old baggage will not disappear until you have learned to fill up your life with the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Amen. So we see the people respond, "We will serve the Lord from now on because of all that he has done for us." And of course we know when we go and we read in the book of Judges, that wasn't so. Amen. After that generation that had passed, Joshua and Caleb had died, and those who had experienced the crossing of the Red Sea, amen, had died. Then we pick up and we see that the children of Israel are on their own. It's a new generation. And we see that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, amen, and served Balaam right there in Judges chapter 2, verse 11. So it wasn't long after Joshua died, and then that generation passed on, and those that didn't, as we sometimes call them, second generation Christians, amen, get into idolatry and sin. Well, that concludes chapter 24 of the book of Joshua, the last chapter, and our final lesson 25, Joshua's Last Words, Part 2. I hope this course has been a blessing to you. I know throughout the course I've tried to make a lot of spiritual application, a very practical teaching on the book of Joshua that you'll be able to share with those, if you're a pastor, who you're to your flock there at whatever church you're serving at, amen, or if you're a Bible teacher, a Sunday school teacher, or whatever you may be. I pray that these lessons have been a blessing to you, that you'll use them freely, that you'll teach others, amen. It's really, again, an honor and privilege to be able to come to you through Andersonville Baptist Seminary. I know you will not be disappointed with the education you received there. I know I've gotten two doctorate degrees through Andersonville, and I tell you, what a blessing it's been. They're so practical, the things that you learn, and so much that you can use in whatever ministry God calls you to. I just pray now, whatever God leads you to do, I pray that he'd bless you in a mighty way. I pray that he encourage you. Amen. If there's anything, any thing that I can help you with, please do not fail to contact me through Andersonville. And I've also, in the course outline material, given you my email address that you can reach me at any time. Let's have a word of prayer as we close now. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I just thank you for the great privilege that it's been throughout these many lessons to teach this wonderful book of yours, the book of Joshua. I pray that you would bless each student who's taken this course, amen. I pray that they use these lessons and the practical spiritual application and apply it to their lives and be able to teach it and help others to grow through thy word. And Father, I pray that you would bless each student in whatever you would call them to do, whatever field of service. I pray you just use each one in a mighty way. And we just pray that you continue to bless the staff and the faculty there at Andersonville Baptist Seminary, Father. Just continue to encourage them and increase the number of folks that they reach and teach through the Word of God. Bless all the other professors that are being used mightily of God, dear God. And Father, again, I thank you for using this old preacher here once again to a great opportunity to reach many with your word. And again, I thank you for the opportunity. I pray now that you'd richly bless each student. Be with them now as they take their final exam and help them to do their best. And I pray and I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. God bless now.